Now, Andrew, you have been accused, there's no other way of putting this, you've been accused of abusing the system. What do you say to that?
Well, I'd firstly say that we deny it. We think Peter's comments are very offensive. The fact is he's effectively saying we're cheating.
He is.
And the reality is when we did the buddy deal, the AFL came and sent an investigating team to look at it and passed it fully. If you spoke to the AFL, every player on our list gets COLA. It's in their contract as required. There's no pool to be able to recruit players. The AFL decided that given that the cost of living in Sydney is considerably higher than elsewhere in Australia, there'd be an allowance, and we comply with the allowance.
Now, Andy, though, the perception is that this money, this COLA allowance of almost $1 million a year, is used by you guys to go after a Tippett and or a Franklin, and that you're not spreading it across the 40-odd players on your list.
Well, I just said, Michael.
I know, but, I mean, that's the perception that you've got to fight, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is a perception. I think it'd be good if someone from the AFL, maybe Mark Evans or someone who has got visibility of the contracts, confirmed exactly that.
So why haven't they done that, Andrew? Why hasn't someone from the AFL come out and said, I've read all these contracts and this clause exists in all of them?
Well, we've asked the AFL to do it, Brian, and we're still waiting because we think the whole thing could be finalised a lot quicker if they confirmed it. I can tell you there's a clause in every contract which Ken Wood wrote which dictates that every contract has got 9.8 allowance
to
every player.
So 9.8% under the COLA, cost of living allowance, heading.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a specific clause in the special conditions of our contract which says that this player has got 9.8% of his contract is a COLA payment.
So with the players, is it just get paid to them as part of their normal salary, or does it have to go directly to their rent or mortgage? How does it work?
No, it goes directly to them, Matthew. It's at the end of the day, the players need to pay their rental, or if they're trying to purchase a house. The fact is that the housing in Sydney is 27% higher than Melbourne, and the gap's widening by the day. Anyone who tried to live in Sydney would agree that it is that costly. And Eddie Maguire twice is on record as saying that that the cost of living allowance, and when he lived in Sydney, was justified and it should be paid by the AFL.
So is that a fact, Andrew? Some people think we had a caller last night saying the cost of living in Perth was equal to Sydney these days, but surely that can't be right, can it?
It's not right. It's not right. People say it. The cost of living in Perth isn't as Perth's higher than Melbourne. But the AFL have always taken that, given the majority of teams in the competition of Melbourne based, that it should be settled. We actually think, if you actually review it, the actual cost of living is probably more like 15 to 18% difference. Now, we understand the realities of the AFL needing to deal with this. The other thing that we've suggested and will happen with the new allowance that comes forward is that the AFL pay it directly to the players. Then there can never be any accusation that we're hoarding it.
So, Andrew, you're saying that even if you didn't have the cost of living allowance, you still would have been able to sign up Kurt Tippett and Buddy Franklin?
I've got absolutely no doubt about it, because the players wanted to play at this club. I wouldn't normally talk about contracts. In terms of Kurt and Buddy this year, they combined, they will net out of COLA about $40,000.
So, Andrew, are you prepared to tell us how much you're spending this year on Franklin and Tippett?
We're spending just over $1 million.
Well, see, people would say, how are they doing that when Buddy's there on $1 million-plus a year and Tippett came at this huge amount? So you're back-ending their contracts.
Yeah, well, people speculate in the media about what contracts are, and often they're nowhere near what people say they are. That's the reality. Obviously, with Buddy, the reason why we were able to do a deal with him and the biggest motivator of going over 9 years was, one, we thought he could play, like Lynchy, an extended period of time with us. Secondly, we knew that at the moment our salary cap's more full than it might be in a few years' time when Adam Goods retires and some of our other older players retire. And Lance wanted to play for us and was happy to play for less in the early years. And Kurt's the same.
Andrew, do you think that all AFL players now should just have their salary made public to end a lot of this speculation, as it happens in a lot of other professional sports around the world?
And I'm not sure of that. I guess I've balanced between the fact that there's obviously other people, salary isn't public knowledge, and I guess I sort of ebb and flow through those sort of things. It might take some of the steam out of the argument sometimes, some of these sort of things. But the other one thing I'd like to stress, and why Peter Gordon's comment's so offensive, is it absolutely disrespects the hard work that our player group and our coaches have done to get the team to where it is. I mean, at least if you disregard Buddy, we've got two players who were drafted in the top 20. The rest come from deeper in the draft, and the team that played Geelong, there were six rookie list players who progressed to big enough players to play in that list.
It's a big grab for Ricky Barham and the recruiting staff, isn't it, Mike?
It is, and Kinnear Beetson. And they've worked hard, and the players have worked hard to better themselves and be good players for us. And for Peter Gordon to make those sort of comments, it's offensive. He should worry more about running his own club than worry about what we're doing.
Well, Andy, look, I know you're angry because this is unusual for you to be so pointed in your response, but I'm a Peter Gordon fan in principle. But, I mean, is Peter Gordon being hypocritical talking about your COLA allowance when the Bulldogs get, I think, do they get $3 million a year from the AFL?
Yeah, they get plenty. And we've always argued that, and we were the ones who actually wrote to the AFL saying that there should be a review, because we were concerned about the balance of the competition and that all clubs should get a fair go at it. And there's some inequalities in terms of historical support, stadium deals, who gets Friday night footy and all those sort of things. So we've been supportive of it. But I've got to say, comments like Peter, who's meant to be a respected part of the footy community, who's got a privileged position to be on the subcommittee that's working with the AFL over equalisation, to make those sort of comments in a week where we're going to try and help clubs like the Bulldogs, it doesn't do any great service to the competition.
Just before we let you go, Andrew, is it officially coming to an end, the AFL withdrawing it or not? Or is
that
just...
and so I guess the other point that, you know, Peter's comments, well, it's a 9-year deal for Buddy. We've got 7 years. We're going to have to look after it ourselves anyway, because it will be finished in 2 years. And I can say one other thing, Brian, because Swanee wanted to have a bit of a dip as well.
Yes.
Last time I looked, Carlton haven't won too many premierships without breaching the salary cap.
Andrew!
They've been good tankers, and the last time I looked, Judd's Vizzy deal seemed to be hanging around somewhere.
Very, very nice work from Andrew Ireland, the CEO of the Sydney Swans. Appreciate your time, Andrew. Thanks for that.
No worries, Brian.
The boss up there, and he's...
I knew he was angry.
Nearly the interview of the year, that one. Peter Gordon, we've got him on 3OW tomorrow. Can't wait to hear his response, because I haven't heard another CEO so offended by another CEO's comments.
And that's not-